Welcome to the Non-Dual Performer podcast. My name is Sam Katadia, and we're going to be discussing performance in all walks of life. And we hope that this podcast will develop your curiosity and your insight around what it means to perform well.
Hey, welcome back to another Sam Katadia podcast. I'm Jamie. And what are we going to be talking about today, Sam?
We are going to talk about the world of sport performance. And I trained as a sports psychologist. Would love to have a conversation about how my notions of sports psychology and high performance have changed over the years. And yeah, go from there. I love playing sport. Been playing a lot of golf of late, which has been fun. And I have been employed by different football clubs over the years to work as a sports psychologist, and just want to talk about what I learned from that and what seemed to be helpful for my clients and what wasn't helpful for my clients, which I find even more interesting. And let's start with the whole notion of sports psychology. And, you know, I trained with the British Psychological Society to become chartered in sport, to deliver sports psychology at a professional level. And my whole academic training and vocational training was around this notion that we need to feel good in order to play well. And when you look at all models of sports psychology, it is somehow geared around trying to find an optimal state. So this could be feeling relaxed, it could be feeling confident, it could be feeling motivated. Everything was predicated around a desire to obtain a state of mind in order to perform well. And I believe this for the last 14 years, really. I've been kind of working in the industry for over a decade. And I think a biggest breakthrough for me was when I was writing my book, Win the Day, with my co-author, José Semedo, professional footballer, now plays for Setúbal in Portugal. And this was at Sheffield Wednesday, and I remember José calling me up and saying, like, I've got a big game coming up, Sam, I'm feeling really nervous, can we do something about that? And usually that was how I was treated. I was about trying to get my clients to feel better, but something in me didn't go there this time. I actually did nothing to try to make him feel better or offer any solutions or suggestions. More about very subtly help José not mind that experience or start to explore the nature of it, that actually this is not a permanent state of mind. It will move, it will change. And from that moment on, I realized that helped José develop more mental resilience, because he didn't feel the need to constantly try and find that perfect state, or, well, I've got to be up for this game, or I can't feel nervous, I've got to feel confident. Suddenly, when you really don't mind the comings and goings of all sorts of different feelings in the heat of a performance, then you play better. So let me ask you guys a few questions, you know, if for those who play sport out there. Have you ever performed well when you felt anxious? I know I have. Have you ever performed badly when you felt confident? Yeah, so probably the same answer, that, yeah, sometimes when we feel great, we have bad games. So that little interaction with José started to help me explore, well, what is the true relationship between how we feel and how we perform? Actually, when you examine it closer, there is no relationship between how you feel and how you perform. It is completely unrelated. Now, following on that conversation with José, instead of trying to help him fix or remove that feeling, he was then naturally able to go into the game without feeling like he's feeling less inclined to manage his thoughts, feelings and emotions. And as a result, he had a brilliant game. Yes, he still felt stressed and anxious. Yeah, there were moments where he felt confident, but there was more and more trust in knowing that he had nothing, he needed to do nothing about those feelings. And more importantly, as I now explore, we don't even have the capacity to change our thoughts, feelings and emotions. So sports psychology and that world of performance has really shifted for me. Rather than helping people find those states of high performance, it's now far more beneficial, certainly for myself and for those who I interact with and who I explore this with, to really not mind the transitory nature of experience. So everybody has experienced the feeling of being in the zone. You know, what is being in the zone? You know, when you become so absorbed in what you're doing that you even forget you're a person. You even forget that you're doing the performance. It all melts into one. So have you ever had any of those experiences in some of your sort of sporting pursuits or in life?
Yeah, definitely. And I really resonate with not trying to enter some kind of state of high performance. I always found that I performed best when it seemed like there was something at stake, like there was that anxiety or anger or whatever it is that was just naturally part of the experience. And when I didn't try to push it out of the way, or although maybe, you know, conventionally, let's say, I wasn't in a perfect NLP confidence, in inverted commas, state. And that's another thing I want to throw at you in a minute, the whole notion of being confident in sports and how that's just a complete fallacy. But I often found that I not only performed better, but I performed, you know, with the whole of my capacity, even though I didn't feel good or positive at the time. My body, my mind naturally did without any constraints or boundaries. So and I'd love you to just like explore a little bit about this whole, you know, you need to be confident at sports to be good, and what confidence really is, and how that relates to mental resilience and how that relates to performance.
Well, as I sort of teed up in this conversation, if we feel we need to be in a particular state of mind in order to perform better, then we lose our relationship with the activity. And as when we're in the zone, the subject and the object, they merge into one. There's not, right, I need to be confident. The zone is when we get glimpses of that peace, freedom, and when we're just flowing. But it's not something that you actively do. It doesn't come from confidence. It doesn't come from feeling calm. It comes from a complete dissolving of a need to hold on to any particular feeling or any particular state. It's a walking back to just being aware and connected with the arisings and the appearances of our activity in the purest way. And the more we kind of explore inwardly that connection, that seamless connection between our mind, bodies and you know, the apparent experiences of our worlds, when we start to draw those two together, that's when we find those opportunities more and more to just flow and be in the zone. Managing confidence, or believing that we need to feel confident in order to perform better or get up for a game, or use a neuro-linguistic programming technique to get into a resourceful state, is ultimately coping, and it's completely unnecessary. Obviously, as much as I understand some core elements to performance, nothing's ever going to make me a professional footballer, because I haven't learned the trade and the skill at an elite level. So I'm certainly not saying just don't mind whatever shows up, you'll suddenly be absolutely brilliant. But when you're a pro, if you can just keep the task as pure as possible and interact it with it in a sort of a loving, caring, free way, without any beliefs around I've got to feel like this, I've got to do that, I've got to not worry too much, I've got to deal with pressure, it's just busting those beliefs that can really help athletes just excel. I mean, when you look at some of the world-class athletes, they don't bother with sports psychology. They just get on with what they love to do. Now, where sports psychology can be helpful is to help institutions, coaches, managers, athletes realize that when they do feel pressure, rather than try to cope and manage it, use that as an opportunity to investigate the nature of that experience, not too consciously, but just to take a moment to really examine the sensations, and then you realize that they don't hang around, they move on. It's grabbing onto those transitory experiences, like when we make a mistake in a game, or let's say on the football pitch, when we lose the ball or we concede a goal. In that heat, we somehow want to not feel worried when we lose or we make a mistake, and that's ingrained in our conditioning. Yes, and those misinterpretations will arise, and we'll feel a bit rubbish and we will suffer. But all I'm offering and putting out there is, will you play better or worse sport if you realize when those misunderstandings or misinterpretations arise, if we just kind of leave them alone and get out the way of ourselves, are we going to play better sport? Or are we going to play better sport that we somehow need to keep managing these unpredictable emotions in quite a chaotic, free-flowing performance? You know, which sounds more appealing? The realization that, one, we don't have any capacity to manage our thoughts, feelings and emotions, and two, even if we did, wouldn't it be nice to know that we don't have to?
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And expanding a little bit on what you said about those misinterpretations, when someone concedes a goal and they feel like they don't want to worry about the fact that they're not doing well, and how that creates a dynamic, and maybe expand on the nuances there, because from one angle it's like they try not to worry, which causes the suffering, and from another angle, not worrying generally and allowing themselves to feel that suffering. So it's almost like trying to do the thing which happens automatically because experience is fleeting, and that then creates a glitch in the understanding.
Yeah, if I'm going to make a concession to an athlete to say, well, I want to play better football, can you help me, mate? I'd still worry and I still suffer and I still get nervous. I would say, next time that happens, first of all, know that it will, so it's not certainly not a surprise. And bring your attention to the element of your experience that doesn't change. Now, let's take an analogy of going to the cinema. Now, the movie, let's say, is our life. It's constantly changing. We are the characters in our own movie. It's constantly flowing. There's color, there's events going on, there's objects, there's sounds. Now, that for the rest of our life will always change. I think we agree? Do we agree that the movie of our life from the day we were born has never been the same in terms of our experiences? What do you reckon? Yeah. So if I asked you, let's now consider the movie screen. Now, the movie screen is the kind of canvas of life, yeah, in which the movie takes place. Now, has that movie ever changed? Has that movie screen ever changed?
Movie screen is exactly the same.
Okay, so next time we're in these emotions that scare us, that compel us to somehow want to cope or change them, be knowingly aware of the thing in that experience that does not change. The movie screen is not offended by the movie. The movie screen is not offended whether James Bond is being attacked or getting done over by a villain. The movie screen is the same. So think of the space that we have now around the movie when we realise we gently bring our attention, not to change the movie in any way, we gently bring our attention to the part of the component of our experience that does not change, which is the movie screen. Another good analogy is imagine reading a book. Now, a book contains words. It contains all sorts of stories, ideas, concepts, beliefs. Those words are a bit like the movie, infinitely different ideas, different tones, different languages. Now, what is knowingly overlooked in that page is the fact that it's on a page. Now, the page never changes. The page is the consistent element of our experience, irrespective of the content. The page is not offended by the words that show upon it, and the page never changes, irrespective of the words. So what could be more freeing to and relieving to know that our true nature is ultimately this unchanging canvas, which provides a full spectrum of different experiences just to unfold as new words, new objects, new appearances appear. To add to that, imagine we're now in deep sleep. Now, no one fears deep sleep. It's actually quite a nice, freeing, expansive experience. But we haven't died in deep sleep. It's just we're not seeing the content anymore. The movie has somewhat been relieved of the storyline and the objects coming and going. But the page is still there. The canvas is still there. Sometimes objects do appear in the form of dreams, but they're appearing in this sort of fertile blank void that we can always rely upon. So bringing it back, going off on one there a bit, if we bring it back to your athlete, we're feeling the heat of the story. Know that that isn't us. Know that even our experiences of our mind bodies is part of the story. Sam Cattardia, Jamie Goodwin, we've got our experiences of ourselves as characters are constantly changing and fleeting. So just know that really isn't us. It's the enduring element that provides the canvas for life, the unchanging element that carries on long after our stories end.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's amazing to bring it back to the basic canvas of who we are, who we actually are, rather than the fleeting appearances of the movie screen. So was there a point where you suddenly saw that the old strategies didn't work for your clients? And what were those old strategies? And are there any questions you would offer up to people who are working with these strategies on how they can expand their exploration?
First of all, call a spade a spade. Stop using strategies. A little shift for me was when I was with Phil Parkinson, who's now managing Sunderland FC. He was dropping me back at my hotel after one of the games, a cup game they had. And he said to me, they had a new sports psychologist working up with him at Bradford at the time. And he said, well, nice guy, but isn't getting the results you had. And not to say that he wasn't a useful support, but it made me reflect on it was never the techniques or the strategies that got the results with my clients. It was more about the connection. It was more about sharing a space. It was more about allowing us to really not be scared of whatever we're feeling and to really call out the true nature of our experience rather than bottle stuff up. So I think it made me reflect that it's always about the connection that we have with people and the space in which we share and explore together that helps us find what we truly want. Because that's where you get a true meeting of minds. So that was always a sort of insight for me. I think from a young age, I've always seen truth, whether it's from Shakespeare or some of the great artists. I think that seeing them in their element and their medium being literature or art, these guys being in the zone with what they do, they definitely had a keen understanding of non-duality. I think it's just taken me a long time to really join up the pieces. What can happen is you can get an insight and think, oh yeah, I feel great, or that's amazing, that's truth, and you feel a sense of liberation. And then you want to hang on to that state. Suddenly you're trying to rediscover, refine that state of freedom and expansiveness. And then you're back into the strategy technique mindset. You're trying to seek out ultimately a good feeling. And peace, freedom, love, those feelings arise more and more when we ultimately discard those feelings that arise. It's the flow and the sense of momentum in life that is power. Life is one big movement. I remember I watched a film about Van Gogh, who spoke about this, and how a lot of his contemporaries would ask him why he painted so quickly. Well, Van Gogh wanted to try and capture that moment in one thought, one moment, which explains the slightly erratic, quick brush strokes and the sense of flow. Because he got that sense of eternity when he looked into nature. And it was really, you know, another pointer for me quite recently, actually, how sports, arts, all performances when we're at our best is a sense of dissolving into that moment, not through strategy, not through coping, not through trying to find the zone. Become more and more curious about the component of your experience that never changes, that has always been with you for the whole of your life. See how the movie changes when you adopt a deeper relationship with the movie screen rather than our mind, bodies and the objects that are coming and going at a breakneck speed all the time.
Fantastic.
Thanks everybody for tuning into my podcast channel for this episode. Hope to see and hear from you all soon.